You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Nate Taylor, who used to work at The Athletic. He now works for ESPN, but he does the exact same thing in covering the Kansas City Chiefs. Nate, how has St. Joseph's, Missouri been treating you?
You know, what's funny is Rob just asked me, producer Rob, just a minute ago when I received your guys' phone call. It's going fine. It could be worse, I guess.
Could it be better?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, the funniest thing is, you know, they're in pads for three straight days, and, you know, the heat index was past 100 on Tuesday. And so, of course, when the temperature actually starts to drop is when we're not up there because they didn't practice today. So, you know, beloved, I'm sure it'll go back to 100. But the people have been really nice. You know, St. Joseph is I'm enjoying it as much as I can for the eighth time around.
I'm going to ask you the most important question of training camp. I'm sure everybody's coming up to you and like, oh, what do you think about Josh Simmons? Or, oh, who's been the training camp, darling? I'm not interested in that. I want to know, when you retire, what are you going to write down as your favorite training camp fight?
Oh, man. Well, if Josh Simmons really does turn out to be the presumptive, you know, stone wall that he is at left tackle, then that'll always be memorable because he has, Ashton Gelati's good people. I want everybody to know that. And he has no shot against Joshua Simmons so far, which has been hilarious. There was a couple years ago, if you remember, where Andrew Wiley got into some fights, and I was like, ooh, you don't really see offensive linemen under Andy Reid getting to, you know, some tussles. And then, of course, hey, bud, I've caught the ball. The rep is over. Don't punch me. Don't punch at the ball. I'm a Hall of Famer. Don't do this to me. Right now, the leader still, for me, is 2 years ago, where I think it was 2 years ago, two or 3 years ago, where Travis Kelce just said, stop it, Cole Christensen, stop it, okay? I will swing on you, and I'm Travis Kelce, you're Cole Christensen, stop it. So that was really funny. I mean, I think DiCaprio Boodle, if people remember him, he got some fists from Travis Kelce. This is like right either before the Taylor Swift thing popped off, but man, my guy was so angry anytime someone tried to do anything. Hey, I've already caught the ball, guys. The rep's over.
Right now, we're joined by Nate Taylor. He covers the Chiefs for ESPN now. All right, Nate, let's talk about the top story. Take us through how we go from Jalen Moore being their big swing in free agency to them giving him $21 million. He was Trent Williams' replacement, and now he is ready to be a starting left tackle in the league. It's his turn. They then get Josh Simmons. I think we all were like, hey, I don't know if Josh Simmons is going to be fully ready yet. You and I were talking about this potentially being a redshirt year. To now, it is not even a question anymore on who their left tackle is going to be. When they play the Los Angeles Chargers in Brazil coming up in, what, a month from now, Josh Simmons is going to be their starting left tackle. Or how do we get here, I guess, is maybe my initial question.
So it's a great question, and I want to remind people how fast this has happened because – training camp basically started 10 days ago, right? Andy Reid, said, hey, welcome to camp. Welcome back, everybody. And then he told us that day, Carrington, that no, Josh Simmons really doesn't have any restrictions. He will participate as a full participant of training camp, which I thought was a miracle, considering that, you know, this guy had a non-contact patella injury to his left knee in October. Okay, so like he missed the second half of his college final season. You know, he participated, but like, look, this isn't in pads. OTAs are so different from, you know, training camp when it's like, hey, we really have to get ready for the season. And he's really going to kick it up a notch in terms of the tempo, in terms of the magnitude of reps you're going to get. Obviously, whoever the best five is, you want to build that chemistry as soon as possible. So it was fascinating on the first couple days where you're like, okay, he's moving really well. He seems to be very fluid, still seems strong and athletic. Okay, I guess we'll see on day one of the full team pads. And then it was over in like 20 minutes. Because again, he stonewalled. I just want to go through the list, Carrington. He stonewalled Charles Amenihu, right? He told Mike Dana, you're not strong enough. He saw Ashton Gelati and threw this man to the ground like he wasn't an NFL player. And then at any point he's been up against George Karloftis or Chris Jones, he's held his own. Now, again, this is not at full speed. This is not a regular season game. But at this point, the Chiefs have to understand that, man, we made such an investment in this player with a first-round pick. He's progressed faster than we could have ever anticipated. We were pretty confident when our doctors said, hey, his rehab's going better than most players of his age, of his, you know, weight, of his position. But, I mean, he appears to be better than Jalen Moore, which is quite – like, it's hard for me to say that out loud, but that's basically everything I've been told is that, hey – now you made Jalen Moore a glorified, like, six offensive lineman that you can pull in on jumbo packages and could maybe transition from maybe right tackle if something goes on with Jawan Taylor, who, again, still has this nagging knee injury. But they want to see this all the way through, and Josh Simmons has given them no reason as to not continue to give him every rep possible to get him up to speed as quick as possible before opening night. And, again, he's done everything well, and he's done more, I think, 10 days into training camp than even what was being asked of Kingsley Suamataia last year at this point in time.
All right, I'm going to try to phrase this question correctly. Would you say that the hype for Josh Simmons right now, do you see it being based on, do you see it based on the Chiefs not having a left tackle last year and now they finally have a left tackle? Or do you think this hype is based off of, hey, the Chiefs might have gotten the eighth overall pick in the 30s this year, and a lot of the conversation that we had heard that Simmons would have been a high first-round pick, all of those are validated by how he's played so far in the first 10 days of his NFL career?
Yes. I think the last 2 points you made are exactly what we're getting into, which is, hey, if this man is healthy, he's never playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's never getting past the 12th pick in the draft. Based on my understanding of his talent level and his skill, you know, if he wasn't injured. I think you're also realizing, too, that, yeah, because he seems to be strong and athletic and he has no issues with the knee so far, and again, back-to-back-to-back days in full pads and performing quite well, okay, then this is like, oh, my God, maybe they have solved it. I think if you're asking me in terms of, hey, use your context, use, you know, the 8 years you've covered the team. When was the last time you heard a player this hyped at a position of importance? The last player I will give you is Isaiah Pacheco. They were pretty clear after like the first couple day in pads that, wow, Pacheco may actually be something. And we got him in the seventh round and most teams thought he was maybe one dimensional, but he's actually going to work in our offense based on his tenacity, his speed, his ability to catch the ball, and he's going to make people miss in the NFL. We are pretty confident, even though he has never played a preseason game, that he will make the NFL, which is, again, something that they were losing with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now you're telling me at a more important position, hey, this guy may actually be able to hold his own against, you know, Khalil Mack on opening night on a one-on-one situation. I mean, I haven't seen this level of hype since Pacheco, and I think with each passing day, the hype gets more and more.
Right now, we're joined by Nate Taylor, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs for ESPN. Let's talk about Jalen Moore. I mean, this team took two swings in free agency. One is Jalen Moore, who doesn't appear to be a starter right now. The other one is Christian Fulton, who is not practiced in St. Joe. Let's talk about Jalen Moore. What is his role for this team? Because it doesn't appear like he has the inside track to be the right tackle. I also don't think that he's going to be this team's left guard either.
Yeah, I mean, you would still want to see something out of Kingsley Suamataia because you've invested a second-round pick and you've given him the entire offseason to really transition into that position at left guard. So I agree with you. I think in some ways the Chiefs were so informed by last year, the fact that, you know, Joe Tooney had to go from left guard to left tackle, the fact that he was getting up in age and that you weren't really going to want to re-sign him long term. Okay, well, we need capable backups. Hell, we need above average backups. And they didn't have that last year. Obviously, their best backup, you could argue, was either Wanya Morris or Mike Caliendo, depending on your preference and what position you needed at that time. So Jalen Moore is a glorified, overqualified backup who can play right tackle if Juwan Taylor has a knee injury that is going to nag him over the course of the season, which is possible. It's not like Juwan Taylor is going to get any younger, right? You have Kingsley Suamataia, who, again, you've given him every sort of rep like you've done for the most part in training camp to, hey, it's going to be Kingsley and Josh on the left side when we start the season. If things teeter, if they get a little bit tricky there, okay, then we can go with Juwan and have Jalen Moore be our left guard if necessary, or if something goes with Juwan, he can be our right tackle. Or, you know, you don't want this to happen, but, you know, hey, he is most comfortable at left tackle. So it's very interesting to me that Andy Reid and Andy Heck, the offensive line coach, have had him experiment at right tackle and left guard more often than maybe I anticipated coming into training camp. But hey, the more comfortable you are at those positions, the more you'll be ready if you are needed at some point in time, you know, early in the regular season due to injuries or due to something else that may go on in terms of play with somebody else. Hey, this team needed someone like Jalen Moore last year to finish the job, to maybe win and be the, you know, three-peat Super Bowl champions. So this was not the initial plan. You and I both agree on that, but it's better to have more assets than you maybe need because the NFL is a violent sport. And it's rare, I want to make this clear, even with Josh Simmons being this impressive, it's rare for teams to have the same starting five for 17 weeks, and then you get to the postseason. So the odds are still in favor that Jalen Moore will play meaningful snaps this season. It's just not probably going to happen in week one against the Chargers.
I was just going to ask you, if you asked Brett Veach, like if you and him were talking off the record, and he says, yeah, of course, and then you ask him, hey, now knowing what you know, would you have would you have signed Jalen Moore? I do wonder what his answer is going to be, because it seems like I understand having a lot of options at tackle. I mean, spending $21 million guaranteed for a guy that we're not sure when we're going to put him in a game. I just wonder if they would have spent that money elsewhere now knowing that they were going to figure out their left tackle situation.
I think he still would have done it, because it still gave the teams, other teams in the league, the impression that, okay, they found a legitimate option at left tackle that's not Joe Tooney. And we already know, based on everybody watching the All 32, that Kingsley Suamataia probably isn't going to be able to do it at this level. So I still think the team would have signed Jalen Moore because, again, he gave them a baseline and, you know, destiny had to arrive on draft night, which means you need so many things to happen and the stars to align that all of a sudden Josh Simmons is available. And give credit to the Chiefs and their medical staff. Hey, they brought this guy in, what, about 2 weeks before the draft? And they said, hey, man, we're going to evaluate everything. We want all your medical records. We want to look at that knee. We want to touch that knee. We want to see where the rehab's going, what you can do, what you can't do right now, what you weren't able to do 2 months ago. We want to be able to see everything. So they did their due diligence. They did their due diligence more than maybe half the teams in the league, because half the teams in the league just put a red flag next to Josh Simmons' name and said, we can't really take him in the first round. Maybe we'll reevaluate it on night two if he's still there. Well, the Chiefs traded down and still got him with the 32nd pick. And I think that is only a factor because everyone looking at the Chiefs on their draft boards and their position of needs said, well, I mean, they got Jalen Moore, and he actually looks competent when he's played in, you know, in spots of Trent Williams. So, okay, I mean, they're not desperate. And at the same time, I just think Brett would have done it because by pushing teams elsewhere, and because he's got job security, because the team has been to the Super Bowl 3 straight years, because they have Patrick Mahomes, which other teams don't, obviously, you are more inclined to take that level of a risk that high in the draft compared to his counterparts. And that is because Jalen Moore was already penciled in at left tackle.
Nate, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. I got a quick question about Christian Fulton. Is he going to practice anytime soon with the Chiefs?
So he could practice as early as Saturday. I'm not sure about tomorrow. They come back to St. Joe tomorrow, but he could practice pretty quickly, guys. So, again, if he's out there in a very limited basis tomorrow, it wouldn't surprise me. I think Saturday, Sunday is probably his target for, like, when he can really come back. But, look, it's fine. None of this matters, ladies and gentlemen. I think Christian Fulton will play to some degree in training camp and in the preseason. He, much like Juwan Taylor, is like, I ain't got to push it right now, guys. Let me check the calendar. Ooh, it just turned to August. You know what? I guess I might get ready for football. So, look, they know he dealt with the knee surgery in the offseason. You give him time to recover. You give him time to rehab. There's no need to push it right now. You still got a month before the regular season starts. But I do think that he will practice sooner rather than later.
Let's just keep the theme when it comes to health. For Chiefs players, there's been a lot of conversation this offseason about the Chiefs getting back the explosiveness in their offense or Mahomes being better with the deep ball. The question to me is just simple. Can they keep all their wide receivers healthy? And a point that I made a couple of days ago is, I mean, if you keep drafting 5'9 guys who weigh 180 pounds, like, you're just going to have injury concerns at some point. Like, your body is not made to play 20 consecutive weeks of football. You're going to miss some time if you are that size. I mean, just think about right now. Their number one wide receiver is coming off a knee injury. We had a scare earlier this week with Hollywood Brown. Xavier Worthy is in the concussion protocol. Like, the wide receiver health is just something that we're going to have to track all season.
Correct. And I did hear you mention that. And, you know, this is what you get with Andy Reid, right? You want speed and you want the scheme to be perfectly aligned so that the quarterback has plenty of options across the field. It, of course, helps to still have Travis Kelce, who has done very well so far into training camp. But, yeah, I mean, it's great that Rashee Rice looks to be as good as he was a year ago. So that is the biggest thing that we can take away from training camp so far at the receiver position. Again, we'll see what Xavier Worthy looks like when he comes back from the concussion. I don't believe he had a concussion last year, so this is his first recorded concussion as an NFL player. So, again, we'll keep that in mind. It might take him a week before he comes back to practice because you just need to be precautious, and we all understand the after effects of concussions. So, Hollywood is not a real thing. It's not a real massive thing. He could have practiced, I guess, yesterday. But, again, with an off day today, give him 2 days. I expect him to be back this weekend. But, yeah, going forward, they're going to have to use Jalen Royals and Tyquan Thornton, which is why it's so valuable that they're getting first-team reps already into training camp because, to your point, Carrington, it's going to be hard for me to see Hollywood Brown playing 17 games, or let's say 16 games. The team's already in the postseason. Week 18 is virtually irrelevant. So, hey, if I need 16 games out of you, and we know we're not getting 16 games out of Rashee Rice, and, you know, hopefully Xavier Worthy becomes the explosive weapon, then, okay, you're still going to need valuable reps from Juju Smith-Schuster. Can Tyquan Thornton be better than Justin Watson was last year? I don't know if you're going to get anything out of Sky Moore, but I guess we'll see in the preseason. Nico Remigio is more of a returner, but again, I guess you could run him out there in the slot on occasion. And Tyquan Thornton looks to be your best backup on the perimeter. So, hey, can you use him in the red zone or in, you know, 50-50 balls, back shoulder passes, corner routes? I don't care. Just figure it out. But they're going to need the whole collection of receivers because I just think it's going to be asking a lot, especially from Hollywood and Xavier, to be a dynamic duo in September all the way through January. And then hopefully, if the team does make it to the Super Bowl, everyone's healthy and available for the biggest game of the year in February. It's asking a lot, but this is what you get with Andy Reid, guys. Small, fast guys who are, you know, tougher than the average player at their heights, but it's a violent sport, and don't get hit. Go out of bounds. Like, I'm telling Xavier Worthy right now, like, either run right by them or get out of bounds. Elongate your career, even though it was unfortunate that the injury occurred a couple days ago.
Last thing here, Nate, and we'll get you out of here. I haven't heard anything about their running backs. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I have not seen you send one single tweet about Elijah Mitchell or Breshad Smith. Not a single tweet. Now, I know the training camp, like, the drills aren't really designed for Kareem Hunt to really wow and dazzle you. Maybe with Isaiah Pacheco, but we know what kind of runner he is. That's not really what training camp is. I'm looking at Breshad Smith and Elijah Mitchell. Like, I haven't heard any oohs or ahs or nothing. Is this just because there's so much focus on Josh Simmons, so that's kind of taking up all of the room, or have the running backs just not been that inspiring so far in camp?
Yeah, it's a mix of both. I'll be honest, when I'm watching 9-on-7, I'm looking at Kingsley and Josh Williams and a little bit of Juwan Taylor, because, again, from the knee situation. Yeah, Isaiah Pacheco, he's great, guys. He's fine. He does look healthier. He looks like he's changed his body a little bit, too, coming off the injury. So we'll see how that, you know, plays a role in, obviously, September and October. Kareem Hunt is basically, he is what you know. When it comes to Elijah Mitchell, I think he's such a veteran that they've actually said, hey, man, look at the calendar. You know what time it is. Don't worry about it. Like, let's just get you into a rhythm. Hey, be a nice veteran. Let's not give you too many reps. Obviously, your hamstring snapped last year, so we don't need to push you. But look, he looks to be a very competent running back who could give you a nice little blend of not necessarily speed, but, like, you know, a little bit of quickness, a little bit of, like, fluidity, you know, into the second level, which is very different than, obviously, Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. When it comes to Breshad Smith, he actually has been the most interesting one to watch, because he's been a little slow understanding the timing that Patrick Mahomes wants, but he's got such good receiver skills that it's like, man, can you throw him out there? And then, like, I don't know, against the Jaguars in week 5 or week 6, whatever day it is in the schedule, and can you feature him in, like, a couple packages out of the backfield? What will be fascinating with him, like most rookies, is how does he come to get better at pass protection throughout training camp and the preseason? How much are they going to put him in the backfield and just say, hey, man, like, can you just not get Gardner Minshew killed? Like, that would be really helpful. But he's got the most explosiveness. He's talked about, hey, I need to be a little bit patient, setting up my blocks, and then exploding through the hole. So, again, that's something to watch in training camp. He's their most darling of a player at the running back position that you should watch in training camp. But, again, it may take time just because he's a rookie and you have so many veteran options in front of him on the depth chart. But, yeah, I mean, from a running back standpoint, at least they have options, Carrington. You want me to tell you who their options were last year in training camp? It was Isaiah Pacheco and Carson Steele. And we don't even know if Carson Steele is going to make the roster this time around. So at least they have options.
You should do a documentary on the summer of Carson Steele, because, I mean, those 3 weeks when you guys were, like, asking him questions about his personal life, knowing you didn't care about it, it was so good.
It was so good.
We were learning about his pet alligator. Like, why were we doing that with Carson Steele last year?
Because camp was that mundane. I mean, I'll just be honest, they were back-to-back champs. Everybody knew they were good. It's like, hey, who's this? Now, I will say, Carson Steele had one of the best opening preseason games I've ever seen from an undrafted free agent who was a fullback that just ran over the Jaguars. It was amazing. And we did ask him about his alligator. Remember, Carrington, it was week 3. They had the running back, so they said, hey, bro, you can't really go to your sister's wedding. Make sure everybody's watching NBC. We're going to give you the ball 20 times. Please don't screw up. They won anyway. Because they have Patrick Mahomes. I mean, come on. It was so funny that they were like, hey, man, this is your time to shine. We don't have any other running backs. We'll still win. We'll still be the team on the road in Atlanta. And, yeah, it's honestly right now Carson Steele is fighting tooth and nail to stay on the roster. Special teams will be very important for him. But, again, like, that comes to, like, how few options they had last year and, I guess, decent scouting on the back end of the draft class. But at the same time, they learned their lesson. They have better options this year.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work with ESPN. We'll catch up with him next week. Next week, the Chiefs have a preseason game. Nate, it's almost here.
Yes, buddy. Yes. You know I'm going to be watching Chargers-Lions in a couple hours.
Nate, I'm telling you that if you are going to – after you spent all this time in St. Joe, if you're going to take away time from your family to watch the Hall of Fame game, I'm telling you right now, brother, you have a problem. I'm telling you that right now. You've already been watching enough fake football. You got to watch more of it.
It's mostly for Hayden. We'll check in for the first quarter.
You don't need to watch that with him. Why don't you play the new college football video game instead?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, but hey, here you go, kid. Here's the first little glimpse of it, and we're going to eject in the second quarter.
Second quarter? You're going to make it further than me? I'm watching one drive of that game, and I'm out. I can't do it. That's our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us on the show.
I got to get the early look at Trey Lance, because remember him?
Oh, wow. Trey Lance is still in the league? You might have sold me on quarter one now of the Hall of Fame game. Nate, I appreciate you, man.
Anytime, man. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. That is Nate Taylor joining us on the show. Rob, you knew that Trey Lance was playing tonight? You can definitely sell me.
Trey Lance is starting tonight for the Chargers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He is starting. Their plan
I'm only watching one drive then. Never mind then. The one drive's enough. I don't need to watch multiple Trey Lance drives. I don't need to watch multiple. Who's starting for the Lions? I assume Goff's not starting. Who's starting for them? You got Charlie Batch still getting run?
I have not seen the Lions
there
ain't
no
start.
Chance. They're golf starting, man. No chance.
I have seen multiple people report that Trey Lance is starting tonight for
How's the field? You know, there's always something wrong with the field at the Hall of Fame game. That's a staple of the NFL offseason, that they only can play for 10 minutes because something's wrong with the field. That's how it always goes. Rob, when are we heading to San Diego?
We're heading to San Diego in 5 minutes.
All right, keep it locked in right here. We're going to learn about the Royals trade. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Padres are making all kind of moves. They just made a trade with the Orioles. They now have Ryan O'Hearn, and they made a trade with the Royals earlier today. We head to San Diego right now to be joined by Ben Higgins. He is with 97.3 The Fan out in San Diego to talk about the Padres, who have been busy, busy, busy. Ben, appreciate you hopping on today, man.
Appreciate the time, and apparently we're 0.8 better of the fan than you guys are, so there we go.
No, for sure. That's 100% accurate. Ben, let's just start with this. What do you make of all this movement from the Padres?
I'm just looking at this trade. You just mentioned it. Not only Ryan O'Hearn, but apparently they got Ramon Laureano as well. So they've really filled out their lineup. They upgraded at catcher with Freddie Fermin, and the crazy blockbuster, picking up Mason Miller from the A's, but having to give up their stud prospect in Leo Dallas DeVries. That's a tough one to stomach, because I think he has a chance to be a future superstar, but they get 4 years of control for Mason Miller coming up and adds to already strength the top-ranked bullpen in baseball. They're really nasty in the pen now, so they're setting themselves up to try to go out and win a World Series, it looks like.
Are you surprised at this level of movement? I think, at least from the outside looking in, it'd be one thing if you were doing this in the NL East or the Central. I think a lot of people's perception are the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, and it's going to be really tough to catch them in the division. Are you surprised that the Padres are this aggressive at the deadline?
I've learned over the last decade with A.J. Preller as general manager, you should never be surprised. The man is creative. He is one of the most fearless general managers in sports. Not afraid to make a big deal, and there almost always is one every trade deadline and every offseason. So we're just kind of rolling with the punches at this point.
Which one of these acquisitions do you like the most for the Padres?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, Mason Miller is just so good. I doubt they'll even make him the closer if they keep Robert Suarez. Now, they could still trade him before the deadline. They're talking about a Dylan Cease trade to the Astros right now as well. But to add Mason Miller to a three all-star bullpen that has a couple of other good arms, they're looking at what the Dodgers did last year in throwing some bullpen games in the playoffs and just nasty arm after nasty arm. You can win games in the postseason that way, and the Padres are set up well to do it. So I think Mason Miller right now is the most exciting acquisition.
So let's look at a couple of these moves that the Padres have made. They made a trade with the Royals, where the Royals have traded Freddie Fermin. The Royals also get a couple pitchers in exchange. Let's start with Ryan Burgert. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Burgert came into the season as the seventh-ranked prospect in the system. I didn't know if he was going to compete this year, but boy, he's been a real nice surprise. When they've needed him in the starting rotation, he's pitched well almost every time out with an ERA under three. He's got a really good slider, and seems like he's got a really good head for the game. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up as a really solid number two or three starter for a number of years. I think maybe not quite the ace ceiling, but someone you're definitely going to want to have in your starting rotation.
To me, he looks a lot like what the Royals have with Michael Lorenzen. That's why I'm happy to have somebody on that's watching. It's like looking at how they've used him. He started a little bit. He's kind of helped in relief a little bit. He's a 25-year-old rookie. At least for the Royals, it seems like they're going to kind of use him more as a fourth, fifth starter. But it sounds like you think he has a much higher ceiling than that.
I think so. I think Kolek can be the other guy, Stephen Kolek, in the trade. He can be a back of the rotation guy. I think right now, yeah, Burgert's probably a four. But I think, you know, as he develops and gets a little bit more mature, that he could get up to like a three or a two type guy. But I thought a Burgert for mean trade made a lot of sense. I think the Royals are doing well to get two starting pitchers in a market where, you know, starting pitching is so valuable. Not guys that you're hoping make it to the big leagues, but guys who have already pitched well on the big league level. So you have a confidence level that you're not just buying a lottery ticket. You're actually getting players that you can put in your rotation now. I think the Royals did really well in this trade.
Yeah, that's why, at least to me, you know, when we initially got the reports, is that they were getting Ryan Burgert. To get two arms in this is really what puts this over the top. Like, I would say that the Padres kind of spent a premium for this, if you're talking about what Freddie Fermin is. He was kind of expendable with the Royals. They already have his replacement there. They've got Salvador Perez. They already have a guy in the AAA that they're kind of grooming to be the next catcher. So he was expendable. For them to get two arms for that, Royals fans on this side are ecstatic about the move.
I will say, when A.J. Preller identifies a player he wants, he is not afraid to make sure he lands that player. And if that means offering a little bit more than he has to, we've seen that happen a number of times. I'm trying to learn a little bit more about Fermin, but everything I've seen so far is he's got that that dog personality, which AJ absolutely loves and should fit in really well with the roster of Padres players. So I'd imagine those intangibles were probably just as important to Preller as the fact that he's going to be an upgrade over Elias Diaz and Martin Maldonado, who's not producing offensively all season long and going to be a defensive upgrade as well. So it was the easiest position for the Padres to upgrade. And seems like, he's a guy that should be able to adjust pretty quickly to a mostly veteran roster that the Padres have.
Then I'm looking at the money-wise for Ryan Burgert and just the flexibility of it. He has two arbitration years left, making less than $500,000 for the rest of the season. Like, there really are few negatives for the Royals' perspective in this move.
No, no, yeah, there's control. I think beyond that, he just gave it his rookie year. So you've got years of control on Burgert and years of control on Kolek, who's a little more of a lottery ticket. He was a Rule 5 draft pick last year, so they had to hide him at the back of the bullpen, but they converted him to a starter this year. He'll give up a lot of singles and some hits, but he gets a lot of ground balls. I think he leads the league in getting double play grounders. So he gets into trouble, he gets out of trouble. Little dicier, but he's done a really good job with a sinker that's got good movement and induces a really high ground ball rate.
I was just going to ask you a little bit more about Kolek. To me, it sounds like he's a little bit more of the wild card, maybe not the sure thing that you think Ryan Burgert is. But just based on what you're saying, I think that flexibility and versatility is what really appealed to him with the Royals.
Yeah, and you know, the Potters have counted on both of those guys to step up and for a playoff contender, pitch important games and big innings. And really, they've consistently stepped up every time, both Burgert and Kolek. So imagine they will quickly adjust in Kansas City and will be important parts for the Royals going forward.
If you had to give a letter grade for this trade, what would you say?
I'd say for the Royals, definitely like an A-. For the Padres, they really did need a catcher, so I'll give them a B for that. A little overpay, but I think for me, it's a good fit for them.
I mean, sometimes both teams can win a trade. I always hear winners and losers. Can't both teams equally come out with something that they need? The Royals certainly need some arms right now. I mean, they had Rich Hill start for them a couple of days ago, who is 45 years old. It sounds like you guys needed a catcher and certainly somebody who can hit 260, give you a little bit of power, and be a plus defensive player. That's what the Padres got.
Yeah, A.J. Preller always says, yeah, he's not looking to win trades. He wants good trades that work for everybody for the most part, and that's the kind of deal that he usually pursues. So I wouldn't be surprised if this one falls along those lines as well.
You guys got anybody else you want to give to the Royals, like while we're on the phone here now? I mean, we still got some time. You're saying if you want a trade that works out for everybody, I mean, you guys are out here wheeling and dealing, making deals with everybody.
I don't know. I mean, what do you got left to send over San Diego's way? I think we filled most of the needs that the Padres were looking at in the last couple of hours, so. Good to go. Maybe we'll see you in the World Series in a couple years.
Okay, I thought you were going to say later this year. I was like, hold on now.
You're being way too optimistic. The Royals, yeah.
That is Ben Higgins joining us on the show. He's with 97.3 The Fan out in San Diego. Ben, we were talking about this earlier. I have never been to San Diego, but everybody who has ever been to San Diego has told me that it is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I mean, you just can't find a better climate. You land in San Diego and you feel like, I've died and gone to heaven. I lived here my entire life, and I've never left. Can't say I've been to Kansas City yet. I've heard it's nice. I've heard the ballpark is nice, but it's just hard to beat San Diego.
Absolutely. That is Ben Higgins joining us on the show today. Ben, I appreciate you.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is Ben Higgins joining us on the show today to learn a little bit more about Ryan Burgert and Stephen Kolek, two pitchers that the Royals acquired after trading Freddie Freeman. I don't know how you can hear that and not feel optimistic. That's a good trade for both sides. The Royals needed something. The Padres needed something. They were able to figure out a deal. I think the Royals got the better end of the deal. If you were thinking more long term, you got two guys under the age of 30. You got a guy in Burgert who's 25, who's shown a lot of promise. We just had a guest on that thinks his high upside is a 2 or a 3. And Stephen Kolek, who's a little bit of a wild card, but you'll take that in a trade like this. Anything you get from him sounds like it could potentially be found money. A really, really solid move for the Royals. Coming up on the other side, you know what? Rob and I took a trip down memory lane that I want to share it with you later. I'll tell you what it is. Keep right here, it's The Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of my favorite things about the male experience is just sitting around with the bros and reminiscing about sports figures of the past. Sometimes women are confused by this. Hey, what'd you guys talk about? I mean, nothing really, you know? Like, you guys didn't catch up with each other's families? Like, no, he told me they were good. That's all I needed to know. I didn't need any other additional information. He told me that Sarah was good. I believe him. I didn't really pry. What'd you guys talk about? You can't really tell your wife that all you really did was sit around and talk about the 1997 Kansas Jayhawks. She won't believe you, but that's what happened. Rob and I today, for an unknown reason, were sitting around and we were watching 90s Nebraska highlights. That's what we were doing. For about 25 minutes, we watched the 94 Nebraska Cornhusker team that just ran through the Big 12. And then we watched the 95 team that also just ran through the conference, just blowing teams out, smoking teams left and right. And it's been a while since I'd seen Tommy Frazier play that all of it started to make a lot of sense. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I mean, I see how they didn't lose. You're telling me that their rush offense in the mid-90s was centered around Tommy Frazier, Lawrence Phillips, and Ahmad Green? That was their rushing attack? They averaged 400 yards rushing a game. 400! I mean, I can't think of anything more demoralizing than all they do is just run the option, and you can't stop it. Either Tommy Frazier is going to keep it and make you look silly, or he's going to pitch it to a guy who's going to be a 10-year pro in the league, or another guy who probably would have been a 10-year pro in the league, was a top five pick, but obviously had some issues off the field. Those teams used to terrorize all of our favorite teams. If you cheer for Missouri, Kansas, or K-State, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The whole 70s, 80s, and 90s. All Nebraska would do was BTA is what they would do. They would come into your stadium. They'd fill 60, 70%. They would thump your team and then go back home. That doesn't sound like a fun experience for anybody. So I saw a question today that popped up on my timeline. And the question was, name a player who doesn't have a Heisman Trophy that should have a Heisman Trophy. Well, before this little trip down memory lane that Rob and I went on, I would have told you the answer was Russell Wilson. I will always stand by Russell Wilson's last year of college football at Wisconsin. He threw 33 touchdown passes and had 4 interceptions. They lost their 2 games in the regular season on the final play of the game. Russell Wilson that year was the best player in college football and should have won the Heisman Trophy, but he didn't win it. I think I'm switching my answer to Tommy Frazier. How does Tommy Frazier not have a Heisman Trophy as the best player in college football in 1995? I know he got hurt in 94, so he was unable to finish the season. I mean, he probably was the best player in college football that year too, but I get you can't play in 4 games and win the Heisman Trophy. How did he not win it in 95? Who won the Heisman in 95 other than Tommy Frazier? Eddie George? Eddie George wasn't the best player in college football that season. I'm sure it was Tommy Frazier. So I wish retroactively I could go back and I'm giving Tommy Frazier the award. I want him to be the Heisman Trophy winner in 1995. That's how I'm answering the question after we went on our little journey.
I mean, Tommy Frazier is the, like, if you Google biggest snubs of all time, Tommy Frazier is number one. I got a couple other for you, though.
That a lot of people might argue Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning's, Charles Woodson's one. I think Charles Woodson was basically Travis Hunter of his era, so people were like, oh, you got to give it to him. Do you know a little under-the-radar snub that happened? Jason White getting the Heisman and Larry Fitzgerald not is a travesty. Like, we wax poetically on this show about Randy Moss's 2007 season. Do you know that in college football, they played 12 games, by the way, in college football in 2003, Larry Fitzgerald had 22 touchdown catches? 22! He was averaging basically two touchdowns a game at Pitt. It was 1,600 yards. Larry Fitzgerald was a freak.
And to be honest, you're not even really telling the full story. He won the Triple Crown that year. He had the most catches of any receiver in college football. He had the most yards and most touchdowns. He averaged 128 yards a game in college. Insane. Now, I will say this. He did have a chance to go win the Heisman Trophy. Remember that game at the end of the year? They played Miami, and this is when Miami was loaded. And it was a, hey, if you do this against Miami, we will give you the Heisman Trophy. And he didn't play well in that game, and they didn't give it to him. So he at least had a chance. Not giving it to Jason White is kind of crazy. But that year, Miami held him to three catches for 26 yards. That's why he didn't win the Heisman that year.
Yeah, because he had, I don't even remember the quarterback at Pitt. It was some bum throwing him the ball, and that secondary full of pros. It was what, Antrell Roll? Was it Ed Reed at that time, or was it Sean Taylor? I can't remember. It may have been both. Phillip Buchanan's probably out there. That NFL All-Star team shut him down because his quarterback was me and you. Like, you're right. He had his moment, but the numbers are just eye-popping from Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm seeing people right now saying Michael Bishop should have won the Heisman in 1998.
That's a popular K-State theory.
I mean,
not wrong.
I mean, have we taken a look at what Ricky Williams did that year? Ricky Williams ran for 2,100 yards and 27 touchdowns. He averaged 6 yards a carry that year. Michael Bishop is a dog. Don't get me wrong. Them giving it to Ricky Williams, it wasn't the wrong decision to make back in 1998.
I will take the K-State fan stance here because it's actually similar to what we just talked about with Larry Fitzgerald. K-State fans will tell you Ricky Williams had a chance to solidify his Heisman campaign against Michael Bishop and against Kansas State, and he kind of stunk that day.
Let me look it up here. I just want to be
accurate.
That
is what I believe the lore of K-State fans is.
Let me look it up. This is 98, right? 98, we're arguing he should have won the Heisman in 98. We need to just have a random day where we just continue to do this. Now I can't find game logs on the page. I'll find it.
That is my understanding of K-State lore, is that K-State whooped up on Texas.
I'm sure they did.
Because that's
the one school they always whoop up on.
Also, that K-State team was really good because they whooped up on Texas. Ricky Williams was just average, and K-State fans feel like Big 12 – best player quarterback Michael Bishop should have won the Heisman or Ricky Williams. That is the lore from Manhattan.
All right. Somebody said we have to look up the year that Sam Bradford won the Heisman Trophy to see if he really deserved the Heisman or not. This is 2008. Yeah, no, this isn't. I got to check rushing touchdowns. Tim Tebow didn't even come in second that year. Bradford was one. Colt McCoy was two. Tebow was three. Remember when Texas Tech always just stayed with the quarterback? Graham Harrell was fourth that year. Graham Harrell had a season. Graham Harrell threw for 5,000 yards and 45 touchdowns in 2008. What a time. Shout out to Pat White. Pat White, he was seventh in Heisman voting that year. He had a year. Remember when Pat White got drafted in the second round just to run one formation? We were like, man, this is going to work. It didn't work. No, it did not work. It did not work. I don't know if Tebow should have got that second Heisman Trophy. But no, that was the trip down memory lane.
Do you know who else, real quick, do you know who else I think got robbed?
I'm always here to have this conversation.
Ndamukong Suh in 2009.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I think they gave it to Mark Ingram.
It was the Mark Ingram
year. Mark Ingram was fine that year. There's nothing wrong with Mark Ingram. But the best player in college football the year was Ndamukong Suh.
I agree.
He almost won the Big 12 against Texas by himself.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with you. You know I'm on the side of I hate that we only can give it to quarterbacks. I'm all for opening up these awards. You know, in the NFL the last couple of seasons I've been advocating for non-quarterbacks to win the award. A couple of years ago, Christian McCaffrey should have won the award. The year before that, Cooper Kupp should have won the award. They were the best player in the sport that year.
Someone does have the stats here. Ricky,
I'm sitting here looking at that year that RG3 won it. Russell Wilson was better than RG3 that year.
Russell Wilson should have won that year. And who should have won that
for
year?
For sure.
It should have been Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu should have been.
I could have lived with Tyrann Mathieu winning in 2011. That's a weak Heisman year, the RG3 on Baylor.
By the way, thank you, K-State fans. I knew you guys had this stat of eventually available. Ricky Williams against KSU in 1998, 25 carries, 43 yards. The Cats won 48-7.
Oh, my goodness. I like how so many K-State fans just had that one memorized.
They had that one ready to go.
They had that one memorized. Oh, my goodness.
That is their moment in the sun.
I mean, I can't argue that, though. I can't argue that. If the two guys play head-to-head and our team smokes your team – and your guy still wins it and he gets 43 yards on 25 carries? No, that's a legitimate argument, K-State fan. My bad. No, I forgot about that. I want to apologize to you for being off. No, you're right. In 1998, I hear the argument. That's a very, very fair point. Very, very fair point that is the case. Someone said Michael Bishop is overrated. Okay, it's time to end this segment. We start saying nonsense like that. I can always tell when the segment has reached its conclusion. Normally, somebody hops in and spoils the fun. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to the Chiefs. Keep it right here. So drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.